and welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Emily.
And I'm Erin.
And this week we're going to be talking about Taylor's pseudonym, Calvin Harris, his little, I guess his petty string of tweets about the whole situation, and just the downfall of Taylor Swift in 2016 in general.
Yeah, and then just specifically, though, about this pseudonym controversy, because we've talked about Calvin and Taylor as a couple and that aspect of Taylor's reputation, but we didn't really dive into this whole pseudonym drama. So today, that's what we're going to be doing.
First off, we should start off with a quote from Taylor from just 2020 in December in a magazine article that she did with Paul McCartney. She said, "I think when a pseudonym comes in is when you still have a love for making the work and you don't want the work to become overshadowed by this thing that's been built around you based on what people know about you. That's when it's really fun to create fake names and write under them."
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Taylor loves a pseudonym.
She does.
Okay, so then around the summer of 2016, Taylor and Calvin break up. And there's a lot of sources being thrown around that Calvin was intimidated by Taylor, he's intimidated by her success, and that's why they ended things. But then Calvin kind of wanted to clear things up, so he tweeted, "The only truth here is that a relationship came to an end, and what remains is a huge amount of love and respect," which Taylor then retweeted. Previous to this, on April 29th, Calvin released the song "This Is What You Came For," which nobody thought Taylor was involved at the time. There was just a Swedish name attached to it, which was Taylor's pseudonym, and no one really thought anything of it because at that time a lot of Swedish producers were producing for like EDM or like different DJs and stuff like that. But on June 15th, which is kind of the height of Hiddleswift, like the beginning, not the height, but the beginning of Hiddleswift, that's when Calvin and Taylor wiped their social medias of each other, which we can only assume that at the time Calvin was getting threatened by Tom and kind of intimidated by that as well.
So let me just make sure I have this right.
It's very confusing, but yeah.
So they broke up in April. Or the song was released in April?
The song was released in April.
And they broke up before the song came out?
After.
Okay, so the song came out, they broke up, there were the rumors, Calvin cleared them up, then there was a falling out a couple months later in June?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. On July 13th, TMZ came out with a story that reported that Calvin and Taylor broke up because they collaborated on "This Is What You Came For," and Swift agreed to use the pseudonym for the song because she wanted to take attention off of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But while Calvin was promoting the single, he failed to mention the fact that he had, in fact, collaborated with Taylor in the past because Ryan Seacrest asked, "Will you do a collaboration with your girlfriend?" And he said, "We haven't spoken about it. I can't see it happening, though."
Mm-hmm.
Which is definitely probably a slap in the face to Taylor because we know she loves to talk about artists' rights and stuff like that, and for her boyfriend, when he knew that they collaborated on a song together already, for him to go, "Oh, you know, I don't see that happening." Yeah. I can see where that would annoy her.
I guess the part where I get confused, though, is that if she agreed to use a pseudonym, to me that means she didn't expect to ever be credited. Or did she? Is that the part that we don't know?
I don't know.
We said, okay, Taylor wanted to use a pseudonym because she wanted her involvement in this song to not have to do with her and Calvin as a couple, but then he was asked if he's ever collaborated with her, and he said no, which upset her because she had, but she also used the pseudonym, so it's just, I guess, the gray area, and the question is whether or not it was just like a pseudonym for now, kind of like it was with William Bowery, where when Folklore first came out, Joe's name was under a pseudonym so that the focus was off of their relationship. But then a few months later, Taylor revealed it to be him so that Folklore had its moment and then that whole thing had its moment. So maybe with this, it was a similar situation where At first, Taylor was good with her name being covered by a pseudonym, but then she was annoyed that a few months later, when the song had kind of already been out for a while, Calvin still denied her involvement.
He denied it the day it was released.
Oh.
So the day that the song was released, he went to Ryan Seacrest to promote it, and then he said, "We haven't spoken about it. I can't see it happening."
Okay.
Which I kind of can see where it would have been easy for him to go, "Oh, you know, we're always open to that possibility," or something mm-hmm. like that. But he flat out was like, "Oh, no, it's not going to happen."
Yeah.
When he knew that she co-wrote the song.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But then, when they broke up, is when everything went down because...
Yeah, because
I forget how... So, it was the TMZ article that put out the fact that Taylor was the co-writer on it, and that was her pseudonym. And then Taylor's team confirmed it to Rolling Stone. And then Calvin got really, really mad on Twitter, and then mm-hmm. that's where that all exploded. So let's read some of his tweets.
Okay.
He said, "And she sings a little bit of it too. Amazing lyric writer, and she smashed it as usual. I wrote the music, produced the song, arranged it, and cut the vocals though. And initially she wanted to keep it secret, hence the pseudonym. Hurtful to me at this point that her and her team would go so far out of the way to try and make me look bad at this stage though. I figure if you're happy in your new relationship, you should focus on that instead of trying to tear your ex-BF down for something to do."
And that tweet, I remember, was, like, the biggest one. That was the one that got the most attention, right?
No, I think it was, "I know you're off tour and you need someone new to try and bury, like, Katie, etc., but I'm not that guy. Sorry, I won't allow it. Please focus on the positive aspects of your life because you've earned a great one. God bless everyone. Have a beautiful day."
That's where my opinion on the whole thing switches a little bit, because let's say this news broke and Calvin tweeted, "Oh yes, Taylor collaborated with me on this song. It was a great experience working with her and writing this song. I wish her all the best." Like, I don't even think this would have been a thing, because he would have just said, "Yes, we collaborated," and I think most people would understand, like, "Oh, she used a pseudonym, so why would she be upset that he didn't confirm her involvement?" But I think he really made himself look bad with these tweets, and that's kind of where public opinion probably shifted.
It's just really confusing to me, because I don't understand any negative of it being like, "Oh, this song was written by Calvin Harris and Taylor Swift." Like, it would have just made it more popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it would have overshadowed it either, because they're both, like, successful artists in their own right, and, you know, artists collab all the time. So I don't really see why there was a pseudonym.
Yeah, well, from the reports and from Calvin himself, it sounds like the pseudonym came from Taylor. I don't think it was something that he cared about. It was more so something she wanted.
I guess, like, I don't know. It is kind of strange, but I guess in that Paul McCartney article, she said she likes writing under a pseudonym, so.
Yeah, and I almost think part of it might be, but then, I don't know, this is also convoluted, because I was going to say maybe she wanted the pseudonym because she wasn't sure about Calvin. She wasn't sure if they were going to last as a couple, so she didn't want her name attached to a project of his in case they didn't work out, because then it might be kind of awkward and weird. But then that doesn't add up, because she was upset that he didn't give her credit for the song, so that can't be the reason, can it?
Well, are you talking about the Ryan Seacrest part?
Yeah.
I think, like I said before, I think it was more about the fact that he flat out was like, "I don't see it happening. They're mm-hmm. collaborating." Like, he could have just said, "Oh, you know, I'm always open to collaborating with anyone, and, like, it would be fun to collaborate with Taylor." Like, it could be as simple as that.
Yeah, I could see that side. I could also see the side of where he was thinking, and obviously this is all speculation because we don't know what happened, what their conversations were.
I actually am
were.
A close personal friend with Colin, yeah. So I do know actually everything.
But maybe in his mind he was thinking, "Oh, Taylor doesn't want her involvement in this project to be known." When Ryan asked me this question, why don't I just answer, no, I don't see it happening. So that way, no one ever thinks she was a part of it, and it'll never get out that she wrote the song, because that's what maybe he thought she wanted, and who knows if that is what she wanted, but I could see that too.
It's very complicated, yeah. And weird, but anyway. So what do we think of the tweets? I know we, in our Hiddle Swift episode, we read through the tweets and we kind of gave our opinion, but we can go a little further into it now.
Yeah, I think it's obnoxious, the first thing I will point out.
He's 32, by the way, as well.
Yeah.
So he was too old to be acting like this.
Honestly, if he had stopped at She Sings on a little bit of it too, amazing lyric writer, and she smashed it as usual, if that was all he said, I don't think this would have been a problem. He would have looked great, everything would have been fine, everyone would have understood and moved on, but he kept going.
Well, he was salty about Hiddle Swift.
Yeah. The part where he said, I wrote the music, produced the song, arranged it, and cut the vocals, that to me is a little obnoxious because it's definitely downplaying her involvement. And of course, we don't know how much she was involved. We weren't there when they were writing it. But I would assume she was involved more than that, and he kind of downplayed her contribution, which was kind of, again, obnoxious.
Yeah. And then for him to drag Katy into it, too, is so petty.
It's all like, just petty.
She also has issues with Katy Perry. It's not just me, you know?
Yeah, and
I'm not that guy. Sorry, I won't allow it.
Mm-hmm. And when he says, I figure if you're happy in your new relationship, you should focus on that instead of trying to tear your ex-boyfriend down for something to do, like, I can see his side. Like, I've been kind of, I guess, like, low-key defending him this whole time. So I can see his side of the story. But it's also, he just made himself look so petty because Taylor also has a side to this as well. So for him to act as though, like, she has no grounds to be upset because she was barely involved anyway. So this is all so stupid. And by the way, I'm not the only person this has happened to. She's done it to Katy. She's done it to other people. Stop focusing on me. Go live your life with your boyfriend. Like, just don't worry about me. He definitely dramatized the situation quite a bit.
Also, I love that he couldn't name any other people. He had to go Katy, etc. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah, just that's always a good thing when people are like, there are too many examples to even list out. I can't even do it, but just know that this always happens.
Or when Scooter's wife was just like, she picks up friends and drops them like wilted flowers. Yeah, that's it. I don't have any examples, but yeah, she does that.
So Calvin definitely went petty, for sure.
He definitely took the petty route, and then he finished it off by saying, God bless everyone, have a beautiful day.
Yeah, but isn't he kind of known for this thing?
Like, so yeah, I forgot to mention this as well. So he also, before Taylor, dated Rita Ora, and they wrote a song together, and he barred her from ever performing it ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this pattern.
Yeah.
Of being, like, so petty and so weird after, because he, you know, I mean, age is just a number, but he was 32, so you'd think he would have the emotional maturity to not go off on Twitter and to treat his exes respectfully, but I guess not. And another weird part about it to me is the fact that Taylor and her team said nothing. All it said was Rolling Stone got a confirmation that it was about him. There was no further statement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would understand maybe his reaction if they were like, he's a liar, blah, 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 but they said nothing. Taylor never said anything.
Yeah, so how is she trying to tear him down by just confirming that she wrote a song that she did, in fact, write?
Yeah, but it all ties back to the rumors of him being insecure in the relationship and intimidated by Taylor, so we can only presume that that's what it was about.
Yeah, and this was definitely a convenient thing for him to do to Taylor, and convenient accusations to kind of, like, lodge against her, because at this point in 2016, Taylor was very overexposed to the general public, and I think probably the general opinion was that people were tiring of her and just, you know, felt negatively toward her. So for him to kind of attack her in this way and say that she's trying to tear him down and all these different things and painting her in a negative light was definitely a very convenient thing for him to do, because he knew that a lot of people would take his side and would, you know, I guess, sour against Taylor.
And he was just adding fuel to the fire, too, and just adding to the narrative that was going on, because earlier in the year was when Famous came out.
Yeah.
And then the music video. So all of that drama with Kanye was happening. And then, you know, the Katy stuff was ongoing. And what else? And then also, you know, Calvin and Taylor broke up and she was dating Tom. So many things going on.
Yeah.
And this was just another thing that added fuel to the fire.
So in some ways you almost wonder, did he just go off on her in this way because he knew that people would take his side? He knew it would get him, like, credit and public favor for turning against Taylor.
Let's also talk about Katy's response. She responded with a gif of Hillary Clinton, like, rolling her eyes, I believe.
Well, we just looked at it before the episode. It was more like she was,
surprised?
What is... She was, like, widening her eyes and looking like, I don't really want to be involved in this. That was kind of the sense I got from it. But it's hard to say because she didn't actually respond with words. So you don't exactly know what her intention was with that at all.
Didn't she say something about, like, Regina George in sheep's clothing, too, right?
Oh, yeah, that rings a bell.
So, yeah. Katy definitely played into the pettiness as well. But, you know, let's be honest, Taylor played into the pettiness by starting something with Katy over backup dancers. So everybody was in the wrong.
Yeah, this whole thing was just kind of petty, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. I know people want to make it, like, a serious thing because he was, like, taking away the credit for a song that she wrote, but I feel like the whole thing around it was very petty because it seems to me that Taylor was okay with it, and then that interview was, like, the turning point, but I don't know. It's just all very messy, I guess.
Yeah, and then even in Taylor's album of the year acceptance speech for 1989, she said, I want to say to all the young women out there, there will be people along the way who will try to undercut your success or take credits for your accomplishments or fame. So I don't know, maybe that was also shade at Calvin.
Yeah,
they were still together at the time, but you know,
you never know. It could have been, and that's something to definitely keep in mind, is that these public narratives and all these things that we think we know about a situation aren't necessarily the full picture and are probably not the full picture of what was actually happening behind the scenes. So all we can really do is kind of speculate and give our opinion on what we think was happening, I guess.
Yeah. So overall, we both think that the tweets are super petty and they shouldn't have happened. But one of the more fascinating things about it to me is we all know how tightly controlled Taylor's circle is, how good her PR is, like her PR team. They literally never let anything get out. But with this, nobody was really looking. They just let Calvin go off. It's really crazy to me how that could happen.
Well, I don't know how they could have stopped him because they weren't together at that point.
Sign an NDA or something?
I don't know.
No, none of her exes have ever gone off in the past. Or do you think he just wanted the clout?
I think he just wanted the clout. That's what I was saying earlier. I really don't think it's that deep. I think it's what I said. Like, he saw the public...
He saw an opening and he took it.
Yeah, he saw the public favor turning against Taylor, and he saw an opportunity for him to get clout by turning against her, so he did. I think it's probably something along those lines, but again, who knows?
It's crazy, but I think we all forget that this happened less than a week before the Kim and Kanye Snapchat thing happened, Snakegate.
Yes.
Which is so crazy to me.
I do, because like I said, I remember reading all this stuff. I wasn't super involved in it or, like, invested, but I, you know, it was everywhere. It was hard to avoid. So I did read these stories, and yeah, I in hindsight, didn't really remember how close together these two things were, but they were very, very close together.
It's just, it was so inevitable looking back. Like, it was so inevitable that Taylor was going to be quote-unquote canceled and go away, but yeah.
And it all just led up to the drama with Kim and Kanye, which was, of course, the conclusion to this year of drama with Taylor.
Yes. So, as you can imagine, the public took Calvin's side, most of them. Actually, do we want to read some Daily Mail comments? I feel like that's always fun to get, like, a good pulse of what everyone was thinking at the time.
Sure.
So let's pull up an article about Calvin's tweets and see what people were saying. Okay, so right away, I see that all of the top comments are positive towards Calvin, and they all have thousands of upvotes. Do we want to alternate?
Sure.
Okay, you can go first.
Okay, so the first comment is from France. Someone from France. it has 8,500 positive votes. And it says, glad he called her out.
Team Calvin, I'm here, babe.
And they're from the UK. Now we have someone from the US, Texas. This whole Swift-Harris-Hiddleston show is the gift that keeps on giving. Popcorn, anyone?
I am Team Calvin for this story. Don't see how he disrespected her. Even if he did, she should be past it. She has this big new relationship with Tom Hiddleston and was last year's highest earning entertainer. She has plenty going well for her. No need to be petty.
And they're from Australia, so we're just like around the globe with this. the next one, he's a class act. Nothing he said was rude at all, but it was to the point. It's nasty of her to confirm this now when she wanted it to be a secret when they were together. She's been showing her true colors lately.
This is from London. I've lost a little respect I have for Taylor. Her true colors are now coming out.
And maybe this will be the last one because I think we get the idea. Yeah. Another person from France. Taylor Swift is a boy crazy and money obsessed ferocious rodent playing the part of America's angelic sweetheart.
I think we just need to do one more because this is classic. From the U.S.
New York City.
This is what happens when you date a phony like Taylor Swift. Tom, you're next.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. So this is one website, of course. It's just a few people's comments, but they do have a lot of upvotes. They do have a lot of validation, I guess. So I think, I don't know, it's a good way to kind of see how people were feeling about this
and
whole.
And from the magazine articles I was reading and the online articles, they were all like, yes, go Calvin. Like, oh, we're living for this drama, so.
Yeah, so basically people saw Taylor confirming that she wrote the song as, like, petty and vindictive, and Calvin had every right to call her out. He didn't say anything rude. This was his right, and go, Calvin.
Okay, so now do we want to see how he defended himself?
Sure.
Okay. So, it's pretty much what we expected, right?
And this is a year later.
It was a year later, yeah. Want to read it?
Sure. He said, it was
to GQ.
Yes. And this is about when he, you know, wrote the tweets after Taylor revealed she wrote the song. He said, it was completely the wrong instinct. I was protecting what I see as my one talent in the world, being belittled. It felt like things were piling on top of me, and that was when I snapped.
Okay. Which I can see.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you should think before you tweet. And before you make yourself look dumb.
Yeah, and the other thing about that is, I, like you said earlier, I don't really see, and there could have been more behind the scenes that we don't know about, but I don't see how Taylor's team being asked about this song and whether or not she wrote it and confirming it is her trying to belittle his talent.
Also, I have another thing to say. She just wanted to keep it private for the sake of their relationship. After they broke up, it should have been fair game for her to say that she was the pseudonym, right?
Yeah.
Because the only reason that she had the pseudonym, she said, was because they wanted to keep their relationship out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, once they're broken up, I don't see why her team couldn't confirm that she was a pseudonym.
Yeah, so I think it's, like you said, kind of just a case, and I guess he himself sort of confirmed that it was a case of him being insecure, and he kind of felt like people were trying to make it seem as though the song was solely because of Taylor, and he had nothing to do with it, which, honestly, I can kind of see, because I wasn't and still am not on Twitter or anything like that, but I can definitely see some of Taylor's fans, like, going to his social media and saying, like, this song is only good because of Taylor, like, all that kind of stuff. So I can see where that would be upsetting, because I'm sure he did play a role in it. It was his song, but, you know, that wasn't what Taylor herself said.
Also, let's just face it. Taylor's bigger than him. She's a bigger celebrity than him. And, you know, it is a fact that a lot of men can't handle for the woman that they're with to be more successful than them. Like, that's just a common thing that happens. So, yeah, I could see how that could happen, even on that grand of a scale, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's successful in his own right, but arguably she's a bigger name and a bigger celebrity, and he probably was threatened by her.
Yes.
So, I know we've talked about this before, but remember the song he wrote, Olay?
Oh, yes.
So, Calvin, we don't know if it was about Hiddle Swift, but Calvin did write a song.
Didn't he deny that it was?
Yeah, he denied that it was about them, but he said, like, low-key in it. Like, low-key, you know, the character Tom Hiddleston plays. And it did kind of relate to their relationship. So that was also something that he did that was kind of embarrassing, but...
Yeah.
I personally don't like them. I didn't like them. They're long done. But I did not like them as a couple at all. I feel like that was kind of the era where I disengaged from Taylor's personal life, like mm-hmm. you said, and we just kind of listened to her music.
Well, the weird thing about them is, like you were saying, how did he get away with doing all these tweets about her? Like, how did they not control him? Well, this was one relationship where Taylor was actually, like, pretty public with it, right?
And it was her longest, 15 months, that's long.
Yeah, they posted together a lot. There were a lot of photos of them. They were paparazzied a lot. So, I don't know. It's just kind of a weird dynamic where it was a very public relationship. So, you would think of all of Taylor's relationships, she would be fine with doing a song with him, because it's not as though their relationship is a secret by any means, but it's just a weird dynamic all around.
I just didn't really like them together that much. I don't know. They yeah. didn't do it for me.
I didn't really have an opinion of them, because I did follow Taylor on Instagram, of course, but so I saw all the pictures they posted, or she posted, I didn't follow him. And I didn't really have an opinion about them one way or the other.
There is that one iconic photo from their relationship where they were on the boat, and it's Calvin and Taylor on one side, Gigi and Joe Jonas on the other side, and Carly Claus at the front.
Right, I remember that.
It's such a weird photo, so awkward, but anyway. Yeah, so... Do we want to get into how we think it affected her reputation overall?
Sure. I'll begin, I guess. It definitely reaffirmed in a lot of people's minds that Taylor thrives on drama. She thrives on all these messy situations. And it reaffirmed the idea that people have about her, that she is just constantly out for herself. She's constantly searching and seeking for ways to build herself up at the expense of other people, and she doesn't care who she has to step on because she just wants to continuously build herself up.
Yeah, pretty much. Just 5 days before Kim exposed Taylor, this happened. So maybe, honestly, do we think Kim saw it and was like, ooh, this is a perfect opportunity to strike while these tweets are out?
Probably, because it's like what we said about Calvin. I think part of his motivation for doing this was because he saw an opportunity to get clout, because he saw that these tweets would be taken well because people were not on Taylor's side at this point. So it could have been the same thing with Kim. She might have thought, oh, look, like, people are really not happy with Taylor right now. They don't like her. Let me add fuel to the fire.
Yeah, because the tide was turning.
Here's a question. Do you think if all of this other stuff hadn't happened in 2016, including this Calvin drama, and Taylor's image was fine up until the point that Kim released those clips on Snapchat, do you think it would have been taken differently by the public?
No, because like Taylor said many times, the 1989 era oversaturated her no matter what. So even if she stayed away, she was still would have been like huge.
Yeah. And I tend to agree because even without all this drama that had happened prior to those Snapchat videos being released, people definitely had an image of Taylor in their mind where she is fake, manipulative, calculated, you name it, etc., etc. We all know.
It gets to the point, just an initial thought that I have, it gets to the point where people characterize Taylor as not even a person or like even human. It's like she's just a robot, basically. That's my number one thought about this. They're treating her like she was a robot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's her fault because of her PR and all of that, but it's crazy.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of a mix of both because the way she presents herself to the public is sort of untouchable in a way. I don't know if that makes sense. And like you were saying, definitely very tightly controlled PR around her. And I think that kind of leads to people feeling like she's inauthentic. So I don't know.
We talked about this in our Hiddle Swift episode if you want to listen to that. But that's another one that I'm like, how did Tree let that slide?
The Hiddle Swift relationship?
Yeah, it's just so messy. And it doesn't really have a, like, it's just weird.
Yeah, and that's kind of going off in a whole different direction, because obviously a lot of people think that the relationship with Tom Hiddleston was not real, but I don't know, it didn't necessarily make Taylor look good, so I don't know what kind of PR she was hoping to get from it, but I don't think it, if it was indeed not a real relationship, I don't know if it benefited her in the end.
Well, people were talking.
That's true, and they do say any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the whole timeline with that is crazy with Calvin.
And then you add Joe on top of it.
Joe, 2016 was definitely a very crazy year for Taylor. Maybe one of these days we'll do an episode, just like a timeline of everything that happened in 2016, because that was a crazy year for her.
Yeah, there's nothing more that we can really say. It's just the fact that Calvin's tweets just added more fuel to the fire of something that was already spiraling out of control and was bound to blow up.
Yeah. And then maybe just like a last thought or a last thing to add is that in I Did Something Bad, don't a lot of people speculate that one of the lines in there is about Calvin in this whole situation.
If he drops my name, right?
Yeah, if he drops my name, then I owe him nothing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think Taylor has written, like, any songs about Calvin. Except for maybe that, and I Forgot That You Existed.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll never know what happened, really, between the two of them. It's just very interesting to look at from the perspective that we look at things in this podcast, just how all of these different situations in the media affected the way the public viewed Taylor at a particular moment in time. This one was definitely quite the hit to her reputation.
Oh, yeah.
And
however, probably, it probably was a little bit forgotten and overshadowed by Kim and Kanye.
Yeah, that's true.
But this pseudonym has been used recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the Look What You Made Me Do video, it's on a gravestone in the beginning of the video, which to me was like, that signifies that the pseudonym is dead, but then she used it last year in Jack Leopards and the Dolphin Club.
Yeah, but you gotta think about the lyric and look what you made me do. Honey, I rise up from the dead. I do it all the time.
True. She used the pseudonym in her remake of Look What You Made Me Do last year. And I think she listed herself as the producer. So, yeah. And then Jack Leopards and the Dolphin Club is also a pseudonym. So who knows how many pseudonyms that she has.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely interesting to think about how many songs she could have played a role in that nobody knows about.
Yeah. You can follow us on social media at Our American Queen Pod, at Our American Queen Pod on Twitter. You can email us at ouramericanqueenpod@gmail.com with any thoughts or ideas that you have about this podcast. We hope you have a good day, and we'll see you next time. Bye. We'll be right back.